Some slides here, and after that, if time permits, we'll go ahead and preach something, and hopefully the Lord will give you something. It's good to be saved, and it's good to know the Lord, and I've known the Lord since 1983, and you know, the Lord has never let me down. No matter what situation I've been, no matter how far down, you know, I've gotten, and no matter what problems I've had, I can testify to the fact that he's been so faithful, and every step of the way, he's shown himself to be faithful and true, and I'm very thankful for the fact that he comes through. He's bat a thousand. He's never missed, you know. No matter what problem you've had, no matter what the doubts you may have had, no matter what condition you've been in, a heart, there's something about a heart that's sincere and searching and trying to find an answer. You know, the Lord will show you. And that's what I can testify from day one of October 83 to this day, how that the Lord has just continued to supply our needs and every need. And no matter what it is, physical, spiritual, financial, and whatever. And I've seen the Lord, I mean, just do so many things in my life and my family's life. And so, and we thank the Lord for people like here in this church that have supported us. And I know Pastor Hoffman, he's been with us. And your church is one of five churches that has stayed with us from the very beginning. And that's 20 years. And, you know, so when we get our statement concerning folks that have put in whatever they could, you know, I'm very, very thankful for that. And we don't take it for granted. And so, you know, some are out there on the front lines and some are staying by the stuff here. And the Lord acknowledges both. And they're both necessary. Okay. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your grace and your mercies to us. Thank you, God, that you're ever present, dear Lord, a present help in the time of need. And, dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we could get together, and it's good to be in church with your people. And well, Lord, we just pray that you'll be with Pastor Hoffman and give him traveling mercies, that he'll get to his destination and back here to his people. And we pray, God, that you'll just bless our time together, that something might happen for eternity's sake. You'll breathe on us, give us something. Some fresh bread out of the blessed book, dear Lord God. Show us some things about missions, and dear Lord, that souls might be saved, the saints might be edified, and you would be glorified. And Lord, without faith and without you, God, and without your blessings, nothing's going to ever get done, dear Lord. And we need your blessings, we need your presence, and we need your person, and we need your power, dear Lord, to work in our lives. That, Lord, we could grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, you probably already know where Ukraine is at. It's right above the Black Sea. And right below the Black Sea is Turkey. And right below Turkey is Israel. So we're dead north of the nation Israel. And like I said, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit are very important concerning missions, because Colossians 3:11 was one of the verses that spoke to my heart when I saw the word Scythian. And that got my curiosity, and I looked on a map, and usually your maps show you where Scythian is located, and that's up there in the North Territory, up there on the former Soviet Russian territory. And you're familiar with that, the hammer and the sickle, which what I spoke of. And we're in, I'd say, sickle territory here in America, because this is your, you know, a lot of crops grow here in the Midwest. And Ukraine is was the major wheat-producing country of all of former Soviet Russia. And so from the word sickle, you get the word scythe, and from scythe you get Scythians. So, And there's a satanic trinity that comes out of that part of the world. You've got Lenin. He started the whole mess. His brother tried to kill the king, Tsar, there and failed. But Lenin ended up having the whole family killed to start that revolution and communism, as they call it. And then Stalin was the one that was doing all the dirty work as far as shipping people up into Siberia. And, you know, once they have your land, they've got to take the guns away from the people. And once they take the guns away, then they have no, there's less resistance. And then they start calling the shots as far as what to do with people, where to take them. And so you've probably heard some things about them shipping people up to Siberia. Stalin was the man that was doing all the dirty work. Now, this is the spirit behind it. Karl Marx, he refused to work for a living, and he was frequently psychologically sick. Some general things about the country of Ukraine, where we started. It's 45 million, geographically about the size of Texas. It's the second largest European country, divided into 24 counties, and it was the breadbasket of former Soviet Russia. And this here is in remembrance of the famine, artificial famine produced by Stalin, 1932 and 33, and 16,000 people were dying every day. And you can, you know, you can research the information in internet or whatever, and you'd see dead bodies just all along the street, and you know, folks would just walk by the dead bodies, and babies were disappearing because they were, you know, eating the babies and stuff. And that's what that kind of system produces. And, well, getting into the ministry, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have been for many years now getting out there, and we go out in public, and we pass out tracts, and we street preach, and we try to stay active for the Lord. And I've counted at the international train station there, I counted every minute there'd be about 60 people going by, and I tried to figure it out that approximately for 52 weeks or 52 I would say out of the year 52 weeks that'd be right out of the year, and multiply that by 20 years, and we figured about 4 million people have either heard of us preach the Word of God, or they've seen the banners that we use when we go out, and you'll see some banners, or they've gotten a gospel tract. And that was within the 20 years. And these are some of the men, nationals, that we've trained how to use the banners. They get out there and they street preach. We've taught them how to street preach. We've put them, we've translated a lot of material as far as soul winning, street preaching. And these are some of the men that God has allowed us to train to get out there and witness and preach out on the streets. I don't know if you've heard of Brother Jerry Sutek. That's him right there. He brought up some boys that he trained from Romania. And the rest there in Kiev that are coming to our church, or they're from different parts of Ukraine that come out every once in a while and street preach with us. This is at the international train station right there. And here's a whole line of soldiers for Jesus Christ. Get out there and they... some are missionaries. One's a missionary sent out of our church. Others are evangelists or pastors, national pastors that come out. And we've had the blessed opportunity to teach them the Word of God. And we go out there, this is downtown Kiev. And we go out right out there, and we love banners, you know. And we'll just go up and we'll start talking to people about the Lord. And we'll open up these banners and give them an illustration of what hell, a picture of what hell is like. And so they'll never forget it. They hear it. Hear about it, they see it, and we see folks get saved out there. There's one of the men, Kostya Constantine, preaching. One of the sisters downtown preaching. They'll get tracts and they'll stop right there and they'll read the whole tract. Sometimes they'll turn around and they'll grab more tracts from you and they'll take them and give them to some of their friends. This was during the soccer championship in Europe last year. We got out there with some banners, street preaching. We saw a couple of souls get saved out there. These are a couple former nominal Muslims that got saved, and they wanted to participate as far as passing out tracts and street preaching. I said, okay, here, hold the banner. And so from raghead to riches, I heard one preacher say, you know, talking about a daddy Muslim talking to his boy Muslim, and he said, "What do you, son? What do you want to be when you blow up?" A couple of men in our church that are Oleg on the left and Alexander on the right holding the banner. The one on the right there, he's actually running services right now for us. Good preacher, good man, solid. This is in our new building. After 20 years, we finally got in our new building. Took us a long time for that, and it's a miracle. And we have, it was our first camp for our youth in our church. And there's a group of the folks there, and some of the youth out there, out in the streets, their parents out there with the kids and passing out tracts. This is the Bible Institute that we have. We teach the Bible, same Bible Institute classes that we were taught down in Pensacola, and God's given us the opportunity to preach close to over 40 different subjects in the Russian tongue to national Ukrainians. We've got here evangelists, pastors, preachers, teachers. And we believe, as the Bible says, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so that's part of the plan. What we've gotten, we try to produce the very same things by the grace of God out there in former Soviet Russia. These are some of the Bible students. We've got here, is up, we'll get another picture of another guy, pastor here. He's now a missionary. He's one of the oldest pastors, Bible believers in the country. One of the missionaries sent out of our church, Sasha. He's a preacher, teacher. He's a pastor. He's an evangelist. What else we got here? That's it as far as this group here. That man right there, Volodya, he's actually now teaching Bible classes. We taught him, and he's teaching the very same classes we got when we were going to Bible school. And now he's capable and able, well able. I mean, this guy has really got it. And I thank the Lord for that, giving us the opportunity to train him. The man right there in the front row, right here, is Mikhail from Kazakhstan, and we'll show you some slides of his church. He was a full-blown charismatic. He found us in the internet. We've got one of a few websites in Russian. And there are all kinds of people finding us now, and they're getting Bible-believing material through the website. And there's maybe like one or two or maybe three websites. And, you know, it's very rare. But it's really something to see the way the Lord is working now, because people that are getting this material, they're seeing there's a big, big difference between what we're preaching and teaching and the other stuff that others are getting. This was an ordination. God has given us the opportunity to ordain some men, and the Lord has blessed us. Mikhail, he's from Kazakhstan, and his wife Tanya, Sasha, we ordained. This brother Ivan, and he, we ordained him, and also brother Vova. This is 2012, just last year. The man right there in the far right corner, he used to work for the government, the KGB. And he's our child in the Lord. He's our son in the Lord. We led him to the Lord, along with his wife. She's saved and going to church. And their daughter here, she's saved. We led them all to the Lord. This brother right here, my wife's nephew, he preaches in different counties of Ukraine in the jails. And that's a very, very fruitful ministry as far as souls getting saved. And so we thank the Lord for that. This is another pastor from far west, northwest corner, right under Belarus and next to Poland. And so I thank the Lord for that, these men. The man right here on the right here on our right here from me is Anatoly. That's my wife's brother-in-law. He's the main interpreter for the King James Bible that we translated into Russian, and we've got it in the back there. And we our basis for translation is the King James Bible. And there you see most of the former Soviet Russia and of Ukraine on the far left, and it's pretty small compared to the rest of that vast, vast, vast territory of Russia, and Kazakhstan is much bigger than Ukraine. And now we've sent out literature to Kyrgyzstan, wherever that's at. I can't even see it there. But thank the Lord that he's given us many opportunities now to minister to other people. Now, these people get out there 8 o'clock in the morning, and they'll work till 5 and 6 o'clock in the evening. And the temperatures in the winter out there, Kazakhstan, that's where Genghis Khan was from, it gets to, to 22, 20, 15 degrees. And they'll work out there all day, 6 days a week. And they're pretty tough characters, men and women, staying out there all day. Now, this is the congregation there in Kazakhstan. There's Mikhail on the far right, first row. And his wife is the one sitting down at the very front there on the floor. And they pay my way out there and fly me out there and back. And we have what we call Institute on Wheels. And we teach Bible Institute classes out there in Kazakhstan. As far as I know, that's the only Bible-believing church in all the country of Kazakhstan. So there's a lot of territory and a lot of need because there's very few preachers out there. You know, this is a group of people that found us also on the internet in our Russian site. You can go into harvestukraine.org. And you can go either into the English or the Russian. And this group here found us also, our website. And now we're teaching them every week by Skype. And so even when we were in Kiev, we were teaching them by Skype. And now 9 o'clock in the morning here on Saturday is 5 o'clock in the evening there. So we worked it out so we could still minister the Word of God. Now these are some of the men we've trained in different parts of the country of Ukraine. They're out there doing street work. And this is the crew with whom we started our building project to get our own building. There we are, working on the foundation. Progress. And there's the building. Putting the heating system in. That's what it looks like on the outside. There it is on the inside. We hadn't gotten the lights up yet, but we got a bunch of light bulbs hanging down, but we finally got this picture just doesn't show that we got the lights finally in. There's the doors. We just finally got them in. There's our youth group. They're practicing singing. And this is the men that with whom I've labored to get the translation of the King James Bible into the Russian tongue. The Russian language is the fifth major language in the world. And that was our first package we got from the printing press. And that's what it looks like. It says there, Authorized Version, King James Bible, 1611, New Testament. You can see it back there. It's on the table. And, of course, there's 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Just like it is in the King James Bible. Of course, you don't have study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. In all the other Bibles in Russian, there's at least 10 different Bibles in Russian, there's at least 10 different Bibles in Ukrainian, and none of them have what the King James Bible has. And as the King James Bible has Easter in Acts 12:4, we put Easter in there. It's transliteration, Easter. So we put it in there. And there's Sasha. That's a book fair that they have there right in Kiev once a month, and we put most of our literature out there to sell it, and people can get grounded in Bible-believing literature. Some of the men here that love that literature, and these folks here, they found us also on the website. That lady on the left, she's a Ukrainian Jew. And a lot of people left Ukraine and Russia simply because they wanted to get out of the system, because it was a pretty rough system. But she found us in the website, and these other two ladies, one's from Kamchatka, which is way up northeast Russia, and the other one's from Uzbekistan. They found each other in a temple of Jehovah Witnesses. That's weird. And then that one on the left there, she found out about us, and they pulled out of that thing there, And then they asked for our literature, and they print our literature there in Germany and pass it out to Russian-speaking people in Germany. That's amazing how the Lord works. And that's a newspaper that we put out called Bible Believers. We put Bible-believing material in that newspaper, and the letter, the envelopes with the newspaper going out to Russia, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan. We even sent it out back here to America. Okay. And this is the what we call Trans-Ukrainian Evangelistic Reach. It's an evangelistic outreach using a tent. And we think one of the most effective ways right now for us to try to get churches started is getting a small tent that we can fit maybe 80 to 100 people in. It's only like 11 yards long, and it's about 7 yards wide. But we can put benches down there, and we can get up to 100 people in there. And this is some of the nationals that we work with. We've led some of these people to the Lord that work with us, or they're sent out of our church, or they're from different parts of the country. And we let them know that we're going on an evangelistic trip to try to get something going, and whoever can come and help us out comes and participates. These are some young teenagers that got saved in the tent. Everywhere we go in that tent, we're always seeing somebody get saved. Bunch of boys, we invited them out to play soccer with us. Soccer is the big game out there. European, they call it football. It's European football, but we call it soccer. And these are some of the places where we've preached and some of the places where we started churches. Now, we got something going right out there that's right next to Hungary. Of course, in Kiev. We had this work going up here right under Belarus. It's called Zamglai. And one of our members was traveling 3 hours every Sunday up there without a car, just hitchhiking to try to get to those people out there, but he just couldn't do it anymore and kind of fell apart, the work. We had a church going up there in Gorinka, which is just an hour outside of Kiev. And for one reason or another, some people started dropping off, started drinking, going out in the villages, you know, so, and some of the members just decided to come to Kiev to our services there in the evening. Then we got a couple of works going out here. This is called Kashperovka, using a tent. Now, there we preached for 2 months in a tent, and we just kept preaching and preaching and preaching until we found a place where we can, after we quit preaching, they can meet someplace. And one of the brethren from our church was that already lived out there, took over that, and now he's got a couple of works going out there. These are some of the nationals that we work with. Some folks that got saved. Some young boys are praying. And the literature that we leave them with, we get out there in the marketplaces. There's Sasha. He's out there preaching. And this is the tent meeting. Like I said, we always see somebody get saved, if not adults, teenagers, if not teenagers, younger, you know, 12. Younger teen of 12, 13. Now, all these girls got saved at a tent meeting. And it's just as soon as they get saved, you know, and, you know, we don't really give an invitation until like the third or fourth night. And after, when you walk into the tent, you see these banners on hell. You see these banners, Jesus Christ dying on the cross. You see all these kind of banners, and, you know, it'll wake them up. And we preach, you know, two preachers a night. And then about the third or fourth night, we give an invitation. So they've gotten quite a bit, you know, of the gospel and hell and death and heaven and so on and so forth before we give an invitation. And they came forward and wanted to get saved. And then right after that, we get them into our lessons and we give them Bibles. And they're holding up those that got saved, the Bible and the lessons. Some more men that we've trained and traveled with. More people that came to the evenings. These are various places throughout Ukraine. And I'm preaching this big, long banner we've got. It's about 9 yards, this banner showing different time periods. And I'm pointing toward the Great Tribulation right there. It'll be hell like hell on earth. Here's a young man that got saved. Another group of men. And these two men got up there and started preaching. And I started preaching, and that man right there on the left, his name is Alexander. He was crying while I was preaching. And I gave the invitation. He came forward and he got saved right out there in the street. some youth got saved. They all got saved. There's some more in a different meaning that got saved. Population, 600 or 700. And, you know, very, very few go in there to preach the gospel. We set up tent. They see that tent and they get all excited and want to know what's going on. And we have an afternoon thing for youth, and we have the adult thing, and here's some of the youth. They all got saved. Man on the far right got saved. And this is a crew. That man in the middle with the hat on, that older fella, there, he's got two boys there that worked with us right on the property of that pastor's church there. And we saw folks get saved. And that's the rig that we use. We got a Volkswagen van, and we pull a small trailer, and that tent is very compact. And when we, like I said, it's about like 11 by 7, and we can fit 100 folks in there. And we even train them how to put the tent up. And that's what it looks like. And this young man that got saved, his boys got saved, they were preaching the evening service. Bible says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The apostle Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's a good question. Boy, I think one of the most, as they say, successful, one of the most successful people in this world is the person that asks the Lord, what would you have me to do? And he does what the Lord wants him to do. There couldn't be anything better on top side of this earth outside of heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Isaiah said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. It was Hudson Taylor who prayed that God would allow for at least 2 local churches in each province. He had a vision. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. If you take that W off the word where, and you have here, is no vision. I hope that's not what God thinks about you. And I hope you do have a vision for lost souls. You can contact us by that. We've got a prayer card. If you want one, we can give you a prayer card. And if you take a look at Harvest Ukraine, we've got material in English and also in Russian. So if you happen to run into a Russian-speaking person that does not have a hold of the English language yet. So don't remember us. We thank you for your prayers and support. Amen. All right. Now we got about, I guess, we'll go till about 5, I think Pastor said, so we're going to hopefully give you something here. Well, this thing will turn off here. Okay. Modern technology. Has anybody got a hammer? Press button again to power off. Okay. Oh, there we go. Okay. All right. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Daniel. Here's a man that lived far away from home. And against his own will, it's better to be in the place where God wants you to be than against God's will. Amen. Daniel I would consider him an Old Testament saint that fulfilled his mission. And as I mentioned earlier, that we're all missionaries to some extent. And he's got the material. He's got the goods. Anybody that's bought something that you think highly of quality, you want some good material. And it's hard to find even youth these days of good material. Amen. And our next generation is our youth. And hopefully by the grace of God, we can produce, of course, by the grace of God, some soldiers for Jesus Christ. Daniel was a young man. And he was far away from home. He had to mature. He had to grow. And by the time he died, he was an elderly man. So he went through many stages in his life away from home. And I remember I'm reading right now, of course not right now, but when we get back, I left it back in Kiev. A Chance to Die. Does anybody know who wrote that book? It's written by Elizabeth Elliot. Does anybody know who Jim Elliot was? He was the pilot and one of the missionaries that died as a martyr in Ecuador. I think it was back in the 60s. Well, his wife wrote a book. And the book is about Amy Carmichael. How many of you know who Amy Carmichael was? She was a missionary. And the book is called A Chance to Die. And as far as I know, when she left for the foreign field, she never came back. Now, for a woman to go far away and never come home, you got some good material right there. Amen. And I think about this guy, Daniel. And first of all, I'd like to say about him that many things were different. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercies. And Lord, just ask and pray that you'd have your way with us by your words and your wisdom and your will. And Lord, we can learn how to deny sin and self and Satan in our own lives. And Lord, that we might yield our spirit and our soul and our bodies to you, God. And Lord, that you could use us these last days. We're living in the last days, Lord, and we see all kinds of things happening around us. Things are changing. And Lord, help us that if we change, it would be that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us, dear Lord God. Bless and fill us with your Spirit, God. Speak to our hearts, God. Meet our needs, God, no matter what it is, God. And there are people here, I don't know one person that doesn't have any problems, dear Lord God. All of us have some kind of problem. Some kind of hurt, some kind of pain, some kind of concern, some kind of care, dear Lord God. And how you can handle all these things. We can sing, Thou art great, dear Lord God. How great Thou art. Bless now, speak to our hearts, enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that you might get all the praise and glory and honor. Something might happen spiritually for eternity's sake. We ask and pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, first of all, many things were different. I mean, the food was different. They had a different kind of a culture there. He's many, many miles away from home, and he's got to deal with the food. You know, I'm sure our sister here, she goes to China. She's probably eating food there, you know, trying to fit in somewhat to the culture that she never ate here. Is that true? Okay. Unless you go to a Chinese buffet, then everything's okay, you know. You know. But, you know, there's got to be something different that they eat there that you don't eat here. So, you know, when you're hanging around some Chinese folks, you become all things to all people, that you might by all means save some. So you try to do what you can. And, of course, everyone may have a limit, you know. It's kind of difficult for me to get myself to eat carp. Now, how many of you eat carp here? We got one. Well, you are a rare bird here, brother. One eats carp. No, probably the family eats. Do you eat carp? Uh-huh. Okay. He is a rare bird. Oh, okay. Well, you know, I mean, carp is very popular in Ukraine, you know. You know, my wife, they close the door and all the kids eat it, and they close the door because the head and all the eyes are looking at you. No, brother, you know, and I'm thinking about all things to all people. And what, yeah, missionary, huh? And Daniel had to deal with this. They even changed his name. I mean, can you imagine? You're under a Persian king or a Babylonian king where your name's changed. You know, you're not John or George anymore. You know, you're Humbala Humbala. You know, what's that? Hey, Humbala Humbala, get over here, you know. You know, psychologically, that stuff can work on you. Amen? You got food's different. You sit down. You gotta serve this food. And your name's changed. The language is different. You read there in chapter 1, verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. So you got a different language. You got a different food. You got a different way of life. You got a different philosophy. All these things are different. You're in a different country. No Skype. No telephone. No TV. No YouTubes. Nothing. And there you are. They plop you down in a place to where you look around and you say, what have I gotten into? And he got no choice. He had to stay there. And I tell you, them kind of things will either make you or break you. You know, and we're seeing a lot of things here in America changing. Amen? Yeah. And God is testing you to see whether you're going to stand, stick, and stay, or just go by the way of all flesh. Whether you're going to stick by the stuff, stay by that old black back 66, preach the word, whether others do it or not, that you stay by it. Now, Daniel was taught well. And I think knowing Pastor Hoffman, you've gotten some pretty good food here, spiritual food. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. And I think the Bible-believing group, I think, is the elite class. Someone told me to turn on 90.5. And I didn't know. I don't know where that's from or what, but I'm listening to stuff. And, you know, I was a professional musician before I got saved. And I played all kinds of stuff, jazz, blues, disco, funk, orchestras. I've played in big orchestras, you know, concert halls and so on and so forth, jazz bands, duos, trios, quartets, septets, and all that stuff, you know. And I'm listening to this stuff, and I'm saying, mm-mm, this ain't cutting the mustard. And I was in one church where they had this bluegrass band in there, and I love bluegrass music, you know. And I'm listening to here. You got this girl. She's about 14 or 11 or so, and a couple other girls. And this guy's playing this upright bass, and they're singing, man. And I'm saying, now that's it. Or this brother gets up with his two boys, and he's crying while he's singing. And I tell you, I would listen to that any day before I'd listen to that stuff that's selling good, and they're performing. You understand? They're up there to perform. Yeah. And there's a big difference, man. And here, this guy, Daniel, he's got to listen to this African junk. And every time they hear the music, you know, they're supposed to bow down to that golden thing that they had there I forgot what you call it. I'm losing my English. Help me out here. The golden idol or whatever that thing was, that big old thing there. And you know, that would work on you after a while. If you're hearing down your neighbor, 11 o'clock in the evening, 12 o'clock, and 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And we had that. We had that in our, right where we used to live in an apartment. This guy was an old Afghanistan veteran. He'd drink until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm hearing through the walls, you know, a Ukrainian. Perry, 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 Perry. You know, Perry. Perry, Perry, Perry. He knows me. And he knows we're Christians. And I hear that 2 o'clock in the morning. Pity, 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 pity. That would work on you after a while. You know, night after night after night after night, you know, you're away from home, you know. And here's Daniel, this young boy, a young man. Hey, youth, a young man. No Skype, no TV, no YouTube. Amen. And he had to learn how to stand. And while many things were different. Not only that, number two, I'd like to say that he had a good attitude. He was the right material because he had a good attitude. I don't find anywhere where he got sour, he got bitter, he got put out. Jonah got put out. Jonah had some of the best results you'll ever read about in the history of man. But he was never satisfied. Always had that, you know, the end of that book ends with a question mark. And I don't think the Lord wants us to live our lives with a big question mark over our heads. Amen? And let's go over to chapter 6, verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first. I mean, these guys were tried. They were thrown in a furnace. His friends were thrown in a furnace of fire. And Daniel could have been put out. Say, hey, we don't deserve this kind of stuff. You know, we're Jews. We're the believers. You know, we believe in God. Why are you, God, allowing all this? He could have gotten put out because of all these trials. Everything's different around him. The food's different. The language is different. The way of life is different. And they're far away from home. And they get this trial that if they're not going to bow down when that music is playing, like they play in Kmart and Walmart and in your dentist and the hospitals, rock and the Beatles and all that junk, and this worldly junk. And they come out, his friends come out clean. And then here comes another trial. And this guy has got the right spirit. He's got the right material. He's the right material. Amen. That's what we need, is missionaries here in Lowell who got the right material. They're made of the right stuff, for God's sake. And he had the right spirit. It says here in verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. See that? He wasn't bitter. He wasn't put out. He wasn't upset. He wasn't angered. He wasn't disgusted. He wasn't depressed. He had the right spirit. And I'll tell you what. Having the right spirit can get you down the road for Christ's sake. I heard Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I read by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I try to read up on some of the things he writes concerning the ministry, a man of experience. And he said, sometimes it's harder to raise a person out of depression than it is to raise the dead. God has a harder time getting a person to have the right spirit than it is for him to raise the dead. And that made a lot of sense. Amen. And so here's a guy that was beloved. Let's look at this man of the right material. Chapter 10 and verse 11. Chapter 10 and verse 11. And he said unto me, let's start from verse 10, the paragraph mark here. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees. He was praying. He was on his face toward the ground praying. And it says here in verse 10, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, and upon the palms of my hands. Have you found yourself in that position? And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Oh, those are great words. Greatly beloved. You know, when you are in need, and you need some strength, and you need some encouragement, it is really good to know that if you're saved, you are greatly beloved. Amen? Because someone might forsake you. Someone might betray you. Somebody might let you down. Somebody might really give it to you and stab you in the back. But it's good to know that our Lord says, oh, brother, or oh, sister, greatly beloved. That'll help you out and help you to be the person, the man or woman you're supposed to be. So we see that he was beloved. Why? Well, he was getting things from God. Although he was trembling, at the end of verse 11, he stood trembling. He was still getting things from God. I think the Lord honors that. When maybe you tremble at the word of God, or you tremble because maybe you've done something wrong, and God sees your heart and the sincerity, he'll open up and show you some things about himself. And we need that. No matter where you're at, Ukraine, China, Babylon, Lowell. And he says, I'll look at that person that trembleth at my word. He just doesn't use the Bible as a means for a ministry. He acknowledges that he puts the word of God in first place in his life. And I was teaching some youth, and we're just about done, in another church yesterday, and we had them draw a big heart, and in that heart we put the word of God, the will of God, Jesus Christ, and a local church. And toward the top of that heart, we put a line up and a line below it, and then two lines going out to form a cross. And a person that's going to live the crucified life is the person whose heart is right, where the Word of God is first, not the ministry, like a lot of folks are doing these days. Have you noticed that? Where they think that their ministry is more important than the words of God. And then they take a step to the left and they use the word of God. They don't actually believe that the King James Bible is the perfect word of God. They'll say that the originals were perfect. He doesn't even know. He'd never seen them. Why? Because he's holding the position that his ministry is more important than that book. As if his ministry was before the words of God. He's way out. He's way out in left field. He's missed the boat. He's missed the program. And so this Daniel was beloved, and practically because he was sincere and trembling and desirous to still get something from the Word of God. Chapter 12, verse 3. He's the right material because he was a soul winner. Chapter 12, verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's why I think he was the right material, because he still had a desire to win others to the Lord. You do not want to die on your feet, folks. That's a sad commentary. It's easy to come to church. It's something else to take what you get and go out on the front lines. Then you'll be more like that material of Daniel. Here's Daniel when he was a young boy, 17, 18 years old, 19 years old. Here he is, he's maturing when he's 25, 26, 27, 28. And he's maturing in his 30s. He's maturing in his 40s. He's maturing in his 50s. He's maturing in his 60s. And by the time you get to the end of the book in chapter 11, he's got to be somewhere about 65 years old somewhere. He was there in Babylon for how long? Does anybody know? 70. Somewhere around there. A long time. He was there for the long haul. So up in his elderly years, this guy's still thinking about souls. And then chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, and we're done. Why would he be the right kind of material? Chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. He's got a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I believe is very important through our Holy Bible, to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Young man, young woman, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be the right material God wants you to be, no matter where you go. Practice now while you have opportunity, because when you get out there and you get where it gets really rough and it's almost like spiritual guerrilla warfare and you're being attacked from all sides, you're going to have to find yourself where Daniel was and learn how to see the Lord Jesus Christ through the pages of Scripture. Amen? And be fruitful in your elderly years like Daniel was. Amen? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you, God, for the opportunity to hear some things from the blessed book. And Father, that we might take these things, practice these things. Lord, that we might trust your leadership by the Holy Spirit of God and the words of God. And God, that we could say, not my will, but thine be done. And Lord, that you would help us, God, to live for you. Many things are changing around us. Help us to dare to be like a Daniel. Help us to learn to stand and stick and stay and be that material that you'd want us to be. You're looking for quality, God, these days. It's so precious that when we find something that's rare and it's of good quality. And Lord, we just ask and pray these things for the youth, the middle-aged, and the older folks here, God. Help us to be the material you'd want us to be. Missionary material, like Daniel was. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.